I joined the Catholic Corps at the age of 19. And so, I don't know if any of you are 19 yet, but anyway, I love my vocation. I thank God I'm here, and I have embraced my vocation because I love the family. And so all of you are like a fruit of my vocation. So I'm just so happy to have this chance to stand in front of you and to share a little bit about the faith that I received from my parents. I think it, because of what I received from my family, I wanted other people to have that same experience. And so that's why I'm here in this vocation, because I want you to be able to be strengthened in your faith and in your family. My dad was very much a spiritual leader in our family and shared the faith with us, taught us to pray the rosary. Our family was not perfect, but what he did pass on, I really appreciated, especially during my high school years, gave me a strong devotion to our Blessed Mother, had us wear the brown scapular, pray the rosary. I wasn't always faithful to those things, but when it came to my vocational discernment, all that they taught me about prayer was the thing that helped me get through and embrace my vocation. But what I want to share with you tonight is a little bit of a personal story for me, and how that faith that my parents gave me and our deep love for our Blessed Mother carried myself and my family through a tragedy that we experienced 3 years ago. My older brother, at the age of 55, he committed suicide. And I want to share with you something I wrote after he died. I don't know, for some reason, I don't write a lot, but it was just very strong in my heart, and I couldn't figure out why. It just, you know, just all came together. God was so present in that tragedy in so many ways, drawing good out of something so bad that I felt like, you know, I shared this with one of my sisters tonight and in community, and she said, yeah, I think there's some things in there. So I'm going to read it, and then I'll share with you afterwards the points that I hope you will have gleaned from it. I have to put on my glasses, so hang on. Look at that. I have some of my sisters here. Thanks for the moral support. All right. And hopefully I'll make it through this. I've never shared this in public. They have never heard this. Lyra heard it tonight. Okay. Ugh. Okay. Wait till you get to be my age. Okay. The bells on the church of St. Anthony of Padua in High Ridge, Missouri, tolled slow and solemn as the casket was moved into position and our family slowly filed in behind the casket. The reality set in, and we realized this was the final goodbye to Jay. The floodgates opened, and I started sobbing. My younger brother, Dean, and his friend, Kathy, came up behind me, and I could feel their loving arms around me. We held on to each other as we made our way down the aisle behind the casket. I have never felt so much solidarity with my family and so much gratitude for them. We all clung to each other, placing our hands on each other during bouts of grief. During the funeral mass, Father Sebastian, the pastor at St. Anthony's, read a letter from Jay's friend of 30 years, Kevin Clark. Kevin used to call Jay every day. They were friends from the Air Force, and Kevin lived in California, and Jay lived in Missouri. Kevin's words came forth as though Jay were speaking to us himself. He had a message for his parents, his siblings, and his two children. It was real and pointed out what we all knew, but it identified the elephant in the room. Jay knew where his struggles were. He knew he was pushing his family away, and he was sorry. He loved Jessica and Jason, his children. He was sorry for the tension with Dad and not measuring up. The Ave Maria was beautiful, and Dad wept hard. He had secretly hoped that it would be sung. We didn't know that the woman who could sing it was going to be there. Dad just loves her voice and the way she sings this song. The closing song, Amazing Grace, sent us all, at least me and Dean, over the edge. It was beautiful but heart-wrenching. We were under a tight timeline, since Jay was to be buried at Jefferson Barracks. The Patriot Guard and the AmVets provided a motorcycle escort from St. Anthony's Church all the way down Gravois to Highway 270 to Telegraph and on to JB. It was moving, especially when the State Patrol came down 270 behind us to block off entrance ramps as a favor back to the AmVets for being there for a fallen State Patrol recently. If any of you are from Missouri, you know that Highway 270 is a major area. They don't block those things off, so we just thought that was really special that they did that for us. We slowly made our way down the highway in procession and turned into JB. We stopped and waited, and then as we pulled away to the service pavilion, the military, Patriot Guard, and AmVets all stood at attention and saluted as we passed. At the service pavilion, the casket was positioned with the American flag draped over it. The family gathered around, Jason, Dory, Dad, Mom, Jessica, and DJ seated on the bench, and the rest of us gathered behind them. The deacon read the prayers of commendation, and three military fired their rifles three times. Then the bugler played taps. We all fell apart. I think we would all have been moved by taps, even if we didn't know the person. But this was hard. I was sobbing. I don't know how Jason held on. Then two soldiers removed the American flag with solemn ceremony and very slowly and precisely folded it into a triangle, Dad watching as if in a trance. Then the soldier knelt on one knee and presented the flag to Jason on behalf of the President of the United States and the U.S. Air Force. Dad lost it completely. That concluded the ceremony. Then we were told the location of my brother's burial site overlooking the Mississippi River. The site would be ready in the next 2 hours for visiting. It had been on all our hearts and minds that Jay's death was a suicide, and Dad was especially concerned for Jay's soul. He had prayed for a sign the day of the funeral that Jay was okay. Dad knew that Jay used to wear the scapular medal, but had no confirmation as of yet that he had it on him when he died, other than the fact that it could not be found in the house. My sister Vicky and Gary, my sister Lori's husband, had gone over to Jay's house to gather up valuables before the house would be cleaned. Jay had shot himself in the head with a high-powered rifle and looked around to see if they could find it, but did not see it anywhere. There was hope then that he had been wearing it. On the way to JB, Lori showed us a package of items that were found on Jay's body that had been given to her by the funeral director, his scapular medal and a cloth brown scapular. My dad was always a very strong advocate and promoter of the cloth brown scapular because there were more promises attached to this. Jay knew that. In fact, when Vicky and Gary went to his house to look for his medal, they noticed a lot of cloth brown scapulars around. When we arrived at JB, we told Dad that both the scapular medal and the cloth had been found on Jay's body, and he broke down weeping with gratitude. God, in his mercy, had saved Jay. Our Lady snatched him from the clutches of Satan. There was no doubt that they had been around his neck when he died because they were a mess. In Jay's hour of desperation, he made an act of faith in the mercy of God and this intercession of Our Lady, and placed the cloth scapular over his head. We were also comforted by the fact that they had placed the date of Jay's death as August 22nd, the Queenship of Our Lady, even though he most likely had died a few days earlier. Jay was 55 years old. Those days before the funeral, between the Saturday we learned of his death and the Monday of his funeral, were full of much emotion, a roller coaster of emotions, trying to make sense of it all. The why, the guilt, the pain of loss, the wondering about the state of his soul. Monday loomed big and threatened to be terrible. We felt the prayers and the support, but the pain and grief was gripping. I felt in my heart that God would show us, me, communicate in some way the state of Jay's soul. I just didn't know how or when. The funeral and all that goes with it was like a release, allowing us to grieve and let Jay go. Knowing that he died wearing the brown scapular and the scapular medal gave us the peace we needed to let go and move on, assured that he was at least in purgatory and free of the torments of this earthly life. God had communicated to us with this sign, and our hearts were full of gratitude and peace. Praise God. Jay had had one last visit to his doctor before he died, and this may have pushed him to his act of desperation. Jay had been on disability for 15 years or so. He had worked for Boeing as an airplane mechanic. My brother Jay had spent about 7 years in the Air Force back in the 1980s and could no longer stand on the hard floor due to back problems. He had become addicted to prescription pain medication, which led not only to the decline of his mental faculties, but the decline of his overall health. During this last visit, the doctor wouldn't prescribe Xanax anymore and would only prescribe this other medication if Jay would have a test weekly to prove that he wasn't taking the Xanax. The test was very expensive, and the doctor told him, "You aren't going to live much longer anyway." Jay most likely saw no way out of this predicament and threw himself on the mercy of God by placing a brown scapular over his shoulders before taking his own life. Poor Jay. He boxed himself into a corner he couldn't get out of. We are all saddened most by what could have been a life lived differently. He chose his path, but God, in his mercy, didn't leave him on his own. In extending comfort to me while I was home for the funeral, one of my sisters in the Catholic Corps pointed me to St. Faustina's diary, and I and my parents found this passage about the mercy of God toward a despairing soul very consoling. And this is the passage, "Conversation of the Merciful God with a Despairing Soul." And this is Jesus. "O soul, steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God, who is love and mercy." But the soul, deaf even to this appeal, wraps itself in darkness. Jesus calls out again, "My child, listen to the voice of your merciful Father." In the soul arises this reply, "For me there is no mercy," and it falls into greater darkness, a despair which is a foretaste of hell and makes it unable to draw near to God. Jesus calls to the soul a third time, but the soul remains deaf and blind, hardened and despairing. Then the mercy of God begins to exert itself, and without any cooperation from the soul, God grants it final grace. If this too is spurned, God will leave the soul in this self-chosen disposition for eternity. This grace emerges from the merciful heart of Jesus and gives the soul a special light by means of which the soul begins to understand God's effort. But conversion depends on its own will. The soul knows that this, for her, is final grace, and should it show even a flicker of goodwill, the mercy of God will accomplish the rest. My omnipotent mercy is active here. Happy the soul that takes advantage of this grace. That was very consoling because he said even a flicker of goodwill, and I know that Jay had more than that. And so that was very comforting for us. But the reason why I share that, because when we're faced with tragedy and life and death situations, we cling to what is most important to us, and God, our faith, our family, our friends, our relationship with Our Lady. Although everything else in your life fades away because you realize they're just passing, you know, all the material things, but it's the people in our lives, the relationships we've formed, the relationship with God and each other. Those are what carries you through those trials. The spiritual leadership of my father and in my family, what my parents had given me and had provided for us, those things carried us through this tragedy. And that human sorrow is part of life. We're never going to get through life without some sorrow, and to know that God does not abandon us, He, in the midst of those, even though it can seem very dark and very tragic. And I think that's it. My time is up. So thank you for listening and allowing me to share that. God bless you.